Hello and welcome to Nerds Assemble episode 82. I am your host, Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
And I'm Paul, aka Retrod.
And as ever, you can find show notes for this episode over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk, where you can also comment and find links to our social accounts. Plus, you can get in touch and ask us questions or comment on the show via email at contact@nerdassemble.co.uk. And I don't know why I'm sort of doing the female equivalent of talking like William Shatner, but we'll just roll with it for the minute. Anyway.
Lamina Shatner.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we've still got our survey episode run. Episode survey running. Blah. And, thank you for those of you who have responded so far, but it's still open, so we're willing to listen to more feedback. But what's happening this episode, Paul?
This episode, we've got Tucker and Dale versus Evil 2 has been announced. Capcom has more than halved their financial forecast for their financial year. That's just ending. There's that teaser trailer for TMNT. And yeah. And our feature for today is, what does Facebook's purchase of the Oculus Rift mean for, well, everybody?
Apart from lots of internet rage.
But first, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil 2 has been announced. It was during the Horror Hound weekend that happened, I assume, somewhere in the States. I couldn't track down many more details. I'm assuming States, though, because that would kind of make sense. Is it Tyler Labine and... what's Alan's surname?
How do you pronounce it? Tiddick, I think.
Tiddick. We can go with that. They were doing a panel at the convention.
Wash from Firefly. There we go.
There we go. Yeah,
it's been in absolutely tons of stuff, but yeah.
But yeah, they were doing a panel at Horror Hound and said that yes, a sequel is in the works. There's no director, I think, set yet. There's producers though on the case, and they are shopping around for things. You know, like scripts. Scripts are good. They help you make films.
Yeah, they kind of do.
Yeah. So there's no script yet, but the guys are basically saying yes. There's the, you know, the necessary pre-production process has slowly kicked into gear, and you know, hopefully something will emerge, and it won't be necessarily about the same horror film tropes again.
Mm. Hopefully, it's the same kind of deal again.
I hope it's the same characters, but doing a different.
Well, yeah. Well, it's got to be Tucker and Dale.
Yeah.
Versus Evil.
Yeah.
Awesome description.
I was reading some comments. I think it was on Slashville.com with their announcement on it, and reading some comments on that. And one person suggested, you know what? It was kind of mentioned in the original film that like neither of them had really gone to college. So imagine if they did kind of like the college slash horror film. You know, like their take on something like, was it Urban Legend? It's one of the classics for that. And like, was it Scream? Was it Scream 3 that was set at a college? I'm trying to remember now. You know, something like that.
I think that there are so many that I've seen over the years. They just sort of blur.
But yeah, it'd be nice to get a Tucker and Dale twist.
You know what I'd love to see?
What?
Tucker and Dale versus Evil Dead.
That would be quite a crossover. The thing so that's kind of new old Evil Dead. Kind of.
Old, I'd say.
Yeah, but they probably would want to go with the newer side of things on account of forking out for the new film the other year.
It's fair to say that if anyone's listening and hasn't seen Tucker and Dale versus Evil, it's on Netflix.
Yes, it is actually at the moment. It's on UK Netflix at the moment, is an even greater point.
And it's really good. I mean, if you're not into horror, don't worry too much about it because there's just so much comedy. It's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, all you need is just a vague knowledge of the genre that they're lampooning, and yeah, it's actually a really good watch. I would certainly put it on my list of recommendations for like Halloween film, sort of gatherings, because like you always inevitably get that social gathering for Halloween film marathon, and it turns out there's a couple of people who don't like horror, and it just kind of
just
mellows them out a bit. There's still the gore, I'll admit that there's still gore, but the context
not that much though.
There's enough, and you just spoil part of the film for those poor people who've just trying to encourage to watch this film who haven't seen this film.
I'm like sorry, but wood chip a bit like doesn't me. Really Shh. Mean much.
Just you don't talk about the means of death
in that context.
You don't talk
it's
about
easy
the
to join adults.
Yeah. I'm sorry if I've just spoiled the film for you.
The wood chip a bit, which was an experimental bit of film where they just go through recycling all the wood.
Yes.
To be fair, the same could be said with Fargo, woodchipper bit.
True.
Mm.
True.
Don't tell me you've not seen Fargo either.
That's also on Netflix UK.
Yeah, I've seen Fargo.
I think we should get some kind of sponsorship at this rate.
Yeah,
with woodchippers.
Yeah.
Woodchippers.
I don't know, we live in a rural area. We might be able to convince all the like farm machinery retailers that they should sponsor the show, because for some reason we have a lot of people in rural areas listening to the podcast. Yes, that'll work.
We sing songs as well.
Yeah, let's have some jingles or something, yeah.
Nerds Assemble, sponsored by... Woodchipper Mag.
I know, we'd have to talk to like Martin Fowler or something, see if he can help us out.
I was trying to think of a jingle and he's like, no, coming up completely blank because wood chipper.
You could have the Woody Woodpecker laugh as well.
Oh no.
Oh,
I hate
the sound of him being fed into the wood chipper.
That just brings back horrible memories of school because of my surname.
Yeah. But also, there was a really bad reimagining of the cartoon series during, I think, the 90s.
No, there wasn't.
yes.
The other Pauls are of one mind on this one.
We are indeed. I think
it's safe. It would be safe for me to move us on to talking about Capcom at this point.
Mm.
Mm. Yes, mm-hmm. Capcom.
Talk about denying reality.
So
you know what would help them?
What would help them?
What at least big Japanese for
here now. Do not make me wait anymore.
Yeah, so their financial year's like just ending. I think it ended today, and just before they were kind of like, "Oh, we need to revise down our forecast figures for the year."
Oh, by how much?
By net profits.
Surely, if you're revising it at this point, it's not so much of a revision of what you should have earned. It's a, our target was
so this
way
is...
above what we actually earned. So let's just.
This is their profit forecast. So this is after costs have been accounted for, okay? And the profit margin, the net profit, it was originally forecast at 6.8 billion yen, or 39.8 million, or pounds, or $66.1 million. And they revised this down to 3.3 billion yen, or 19.3 million pounds, or $32.1 million.
It does make me wonder, is this kind of a gaming wide thing where it's basically just not been as profitable as, you know,
companies they said that several billion of it was attributed to restructuring of their business, which I'm pretty sure we talked about at one point in the far early episode.
Indeed.
Yeah. About that they were undertaking restructuring, and they've said that that kind of caused about 5 billion yen's worth of loss overall. So
lost Planet 3 didn't do as well as they thought it would do, either, did it?
Well, it's because it's Lost Planet.
Yeah, that was an indicator.
neither did Resident Evil 6, so that was the let me think about this. Resident Evil 6 is the previous financial year. When did Resident Evil 6 come out? I'm
too
confused
long,
now.
About 2 or 3 years ago, wasn't it?
It wasn't 2 or 3 years ago for Resident Evil 6.
I think it was over a year ago.
It was over a year
ago. Yeah, I think it was over a year.
No.
I have no idea because I've just sort of lost track and just sort of...
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, oh, look, they're doing another one. I'm not quite sure why, but they're doing another one.
Monster Hunter 4 did well last year. Monster Hunter 4 came out in Japan last year for 3DS, and that's done very well, and that's probably why they haven't, you know, utterly sucked. But Devil May Cry came out last year, the reboot, and
Pardon? That was quite good fun.
It was. Yeah. It was genuinely a good game. I mean, because obviously they outsourced development to
Team Ninja.
There we go. And
I keep meaning to get back to them.
It is. I mean, it's cheesy as heck in some places and quite immaturely ballsy, but it works. Because the fact that they've really reduced the youth of the character, like more visibly than what it was like in like the original games, so it does work. But Devil May Cry didn't do that well last year, so their only real shining star of releases was Monster Hunter 4, and that hasn't been released outside of Japan yet.
You bastard!
Because that makes plenty of sense.
But at the same time, it took them forever to release Monster Hunter 3. And if you think about it, Monster Hunter 3 only seriously came out between this part of the world, 2012-2013. So, releasing Monster Hunter 4 in the last financial year.
Was it 2012? It came out for the Wii originally, didn't it?
Wii?
Yeah, the original Wii.
But there was the 3DS version.
This
is because, and then obviously with Monster Hunter Ultimate or whatever, we had the 3DS version and the Wii U version, where those two was where it made its most impact, so in the 3DS. So I'm basically saying that it was too soon for them to have released 4 anyway, to have, you know, gained over this side of the world.
I mean, it all makes perfect sense, because if you think about it, I mean, you know, the world speaks Japanese and no one speaks English at all. There aren't any big markets with a lot of money in that, you know, have English as a primary language. So, it makes perfect sense to keep successful games like that and, you know, just not bother with them.
I've got 3 suggestions for them. Monster Hunter 4, more Android games.
Oh, well, you say that, but their mobile content lost them a load of money.
But they only released them on the iOS. They've only released the games on iOS, haven't they?
Yeah, I believe something like that. I'm just getting my outline back and just decided to disappear. Basically their mobile division's lost them more money. Meanwhile, the stuff that's obviously working, at least on handheld, with Monster Hunter, is done really, really well.
Can I ask? Because they were meant to be doing a Mega Man anniversary thing or something like that? Something about being able to kind of switch between, regular Mega Man and the kind of Mega Man on of the kind of front covers of the original Mega Man games. Like the badly art-styled one. I remember seeing a couple of trailers for them, like, absolutely ages ago, and I haven't heard anything since.
It
I was just wondering
probably
about
disappeared
else.
Into the depths of time. They've got a weird relationship with Mega Man at the moment.
Yeah, I think, don't they have a bit of a issue with the creator or something?
It does seem to have entered this weird space of sort of purgatory for a game, you know, that dreaded space.
I heard all sorts about that. I've never actually understood Mega Man that much personally, but
I haven't understood Lost Planet. This is the
planet
thing.
Lost. Goodbye.
It's not done that well. I mean, it didn't do fantastically well in Japan. It's not done that well outside of Japan, and they pushed on with it.
I got the original, and it was all right, even though it was. It was brilliantly bad.
Yeah,
at its story, because it's the
I've got
to kill this bug.
Yeah,
this bug killed my father, and it's a giant space insect. It doesn't care who your father is. Jesus Christ!
It's not like it's the, you know, the insects from Star Troopers or something, which can read
Starship
your mind.
Troopers.
Starship Troopers, sorry. Ugh.
Yeah,
which can read your mind. So.
Lost Planet 2, I actually got reasonably on launch because it started getting reduced before it was released, which is always a good sign. And as it turned out, that was pretty damn good as a co-op.
That was
game.
Really good.
Yeah, so that worked out quite well. But Lost Planet 3, it just completely passed me by, that one.
You know what? I'm surprised that there hasn't been another one.
What?
Marvel vs. Capcom.
Well, I don't know where they stand with all the licensing for that now, because like a whole load of, I think, Marvel rather than Capcom didn't renew licensing contracts for stuff, which is why you can't get digital versions now.
Oh, yeah.
Is it? It's a massive pin in the ass. An example, that was why you can't get the Xbox Live Arcade and PSN version of Outrun.
Oh.
Because the Porsche license lapsed.
Mm.
So we got pulled.
They have got another Super Street Fighter 4 or something coming out soon, don't they? Street Fighter.
Sorry, did you say it's another Street Fighter 4 game?
Or Street Fighter 5, if they moved on.
I you see, this is the thing, is like the Street Fighter series is just like, oh, come on, guys.
Releasing the exact same game with, you know, slightly more characters.
If they were clever.
Sorry?
If they were clever, they'd have for each Team Ninja to do a sequel to Enslaved. And publish that.
I see. I would really like a sequel to Enslaved, but it didn't do well.
Didn't realise Capcom did Enslaved.
No, Project Ninja did. He did DMC, Devil May Cry.
Ah, okay.
But to be fair, the thing with Enslaved is it's grown in popularity as people have picked it up sort of over the last, you know, few years when it's been coming up in reduced outlets and stuff, haven't they? So they've got quite a following for it now.
Team Ninja have been quite busy, really, haven't they? Been working a lot of people, a lot of other people's stuff, I think.
There seems to be a go-to Western developer for Asian companies at the moment, which is strange. I mean, I know they were outsourcing more, but it's like they're sort of chasing the Western audience, more. But then again, Square Enix have suddenly come out today and said, we need to, with what's happened with Bravely Default, perhaps we should rethink this whole trying to appeal to a Western audience with apparently Western games.
Well, here's an idea. Why not just get Western developers to do Western games?
Yeah, split Square Enix into two, North American version, Japanese version, work on separate titles.
I can't see why they can't just say, right, okay, you know, Western developer wants to do Western game, awesome. Eastern developer wants to do Eastern game, awesome. We'll release both.
Mm. I mean, would you say that part of the conflict within Final Fantasy 13 was actually because they were trying to appeal to a Western audience more? Despite the fact that they've kind of built the franchise of Final Fantasy on Japanese-style RPGs.
Well, that was the reason given for the change between the SD characters in Final Fantasy VII and, you know, 8 onwards, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where it was, oh, these games have actually done very well in the West, let's sell them.
Mm.
Let's make them, you know, a little bit more palatable.
I just want to clarify on the naming of developers situation for Enslaved and Devil May Cry. That was Ninja Theory.
Oh, Ninja Theory, sorry.
Not Team Ninja. Team Ninja are the guys that do like Dead or Alive and stuff. So, yes. So it's Ninja Theory.
The bouncy physics.
Yeah. Ninja Theory responsible for Heavenly Sword, Enslaved, Devil May Cry.
Like, Ninja physics.
And working on other stuff. And
sorry.
That's okay. I just thought I'd better clarify that before we actually have a comment through again.
That's the problem with ninjas. They're very flighty.
Is this a point where I mentioned that I was told in an email by my domain registrar that I could put an early bid in now for the .ninja domain?
Really?
So you could. So I'm just waiting for people to register like www.marketing.ninja and stuff like that. Basically, I can just see it now.
I presume someone's already registered Teenage Mutant.
Well, moving on to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, that trailer. You ever listen to this?
Crime, violence, and fear have run rampant. Our great city is being destroyed. People want justice restored to this world. People want heroes, Miss O'Neill. But heroes are not born. They're created. That's what your father and I were trying to do. Create heroes.
Better up!
No, whoa, chill. It's just a mask. See? Don't freak out. Right?
So, the trailer didn't fill me with overwhelming waves of calm, relief, of any reassuring kind thing.
Michael Bay, he doesn't just destroy your dreams. He explodes them.
In your
head. Is it
head.
Me, or do all the Ninja Turtles look like Shrek on steroids?
I would say that's a fair point.
Hmm. Are they still aliens in this?
No.
No, they're now genetically engineered warriors.
Yes.
Yeah, why turtles?
They wanted to create heroes.
I would have thought...
They chose turtles, obviously. I mean...
Of course.
But they're not even...
That springs to mind.
But they're not turtles, really, because that's what the Americans call them. They're actually tortoises, because we never see their predecessors with flippers.
Yes. To be fair,
that's
though,
always
I think,
been a point of contention with me as well. It's just...
Teenage Mutant Ninja Tortoises.
Yeah, no, it's a whole sound.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Terrapins.
That could have worked. Maybe.
Terrapins.
But it just, and Megan Fox's interpretation of April O'Neil, even though we don't see that much of her, it's not terribly sort of reassuring how she kind of like faints in one of the bits that we do see of her. It's like, oh, she's a news reporter that's reported a goodness knows what, and she faints at a bit of this.
Megan Fox is not that convincing as a human being.
Oh,
that was quite
as an actress. So
I must admit, I did actually quite chuckle at that with Mikey. That was quite amusing.
With the whole mask thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was all right, but it's like it's Michael Bay, and he's got Megan Fox in again, and it's probably going to be colour.
And everything looked really like the tones they were going for really dark. The colour palette they've decided to wash the film with, really dark. In fact, the most distinguished thing in the entire trailer was April's yellow jacket. And that was just, I think, an accident at that point. That was an accident, letting that bit of brightness of colour in there.
At least it makes a difference from everyone else being yellow like they were in the Transformers films due to the stupid orange and teal colour processing that they did. So everyone's orange!
It's like I suppose there's one advantage of there only being, is it four turtles?
Yeah.
The advantage of there being four turtles is that, unlike the Transformers, we've got perhaps a greater chance of being able to distinguish each of them in combat, as long as the masks are coloured.
Alien robot racist.
Yeah.
Can I just say that I think I would have preferred it if they would have continued on from the CG movie that they did. Because that was all right.
Yeah.
Maybe Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, that one. We actually went to see that cinema.
What? Hang on, what? Yeah,
and April O'Neil was voiced by Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yes.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yes. April O'Neil was voiced
have
by
we,
Sarah
Have we
Michelle
blamed
Gellar.
Retroid's mind at this point? You there, Retroid?
I've gone wrong.
No, that was quite a good film. Yeah. I quite enjoyed that. I was quite happy to sit in the cinema. I was the only adult.
We took my middle brother to go see it. I'm not sure if he was old enough to see it himself at that point or if we had to escort him, now that I think about it. I think we might have had to have escorted him, so, yeah.
Can I just ask, what is the betting on the next 80s kids franchise that Michael Bay will destroy next?
The Bay
there isn't
going to
be one. There's not going to be one.
Ooh, He-Man, Centurions. Oh,
piss off.
Michael Bay's Thundercats.
That is downright... No. I tried to take that thought out of your head.
You know, if it's any consolation, that was the equivalent of sticking a fork in my kneecap several times.
If Michael Bay listens to this, please, God, no. Ignore it.
I don't know if I would be, like... quite happy with the idea of somebody like Bay listening to this, or horrified. It's one of those, it's one extreme or the other. I can't feel a kind of neutral feeling towards that idea.
Now I want to tweet him.
No. Does he even use Twitter? I can imagine for him being on Twitter would be the most vile experience to have online ever.
I imagine him getting a mobile phone, actually touching it, and it explodes.
It's just got one of those little fart box apps, except it just does explosions.
I imagine him to be the kind of person that, in order to ensure that he really limits his online communications due to the potential for trolling, that he's probably one of the few people that pays for something like Path, rather than using something free like Facebook or Twitter.
So. I hate to press you even more, Richard, but Sony, you actually got the film rights to He-Man.
To what?
He-Man.
No.
Yeah.
You've brought it upon us now.
Oh, God.
And meanwhile, who was it?
Mind you, the world needs more slightly, you know, looking back, homoerotic.
Who did you guys see who they were putting forward as putting forward as a potential replacement for Harrison Ford in Indy?
Oh, I think I remember this.
Uh-oh.
Can I?
Yeah, try.
Wasn't it Bradley Cooper?
I'm off.
Let me check. Yes, it was Bradley Cooper.
Woohoo!
Is there anything else we can bring today?
If they were really going to, I suppose he'd be kind of understandable.
I think he does the stubble quite well.
Does the stubble
quite well. He does. But me, I'm
moving us on now to what we've been having some fun with. Fun! With some hopes.
Not torturing ourselves.
Retroid, what have you been messing about with this week?
I have been pissing about with finishing up Assassin's Creed 3. Mostly because I picked up Assassin's Creed 4, and it was, what the hell's going on with Abstergo? What the hell? Everyone's being nice, and it's a nice office. What's going on? Where's Desmond?
Fergie, isn't it?
Yeah. So I went back, finished off Assassin's Creed 3, which had been crashing on me on the PC version. And end up quite enjoying it. I still think it's a bit of a missed opportunity for the game, for the franchise. But
can I just say that? I mean, because the story slightly intrigues me of Assassin's Creed. Would it if they were made into like a film series?
Which apparently they are.
Yeah, they keep.
Okay, so it might be worth watching even if you can't get on the game.
Mr. Fassbender is in it.
Really, Fassbender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Okay, no more of those noises, thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, come on. It's hot as Magneto.
Okay. What else have you been playing, Retro?
I have also picked up, and this is I'm playing modern games, but I'm still slightly in the past. Picked up Batman Arkham Origins, or Arkham City 2.
This on PC again?
Yeah, this is on PC again.
Does the PC version have, like, cut scenes that like don't work properly or like stutter or tear or things like that.
No. It has had quite a few patches done to it, though, so I don't know what the hell it was like. Apparently, I saw people on Eurogamer say it was pretty much unplayable and not to touch it when it came out.
Wow.
Yeah. But it doesn't look like villains running into a corner of the wall and suddenly being stuck there.
Saying that, I did manage to glide on my cape into a building.
Awesome.
And look out through the bottle. Until Batman just sort of glitched and decided to fall out the bottom of it.
That's one of my favourite glitches. I had one of my favourite experiences of playing L.A. Noire the one time, of driving into a pile of steel girders and then just falling through the ground forever.
It's a good job we don't do that in real life.
I know.
Ow, I've accidentally got my leg caught.
I mean, to be fair, it's almost like I'm experiencing what life would be like for Kitty Pryde. That's what it's like. It's like
I have always wondered, because obviously she goes through walls. What's to stop her from going
through floors? She goes through floors. I mean, the third film, she goes through floors.
Yeah, but I mean, what's to stop her from just dropping through floors?
Mental sort of cohesion, control. I suppose. Yeah, and control.
And also just because.
Yeah.
How do you learn that? Because
otherwise it gets too hard, and you'd have a character that would be standing in the middle of the core of the planet, going, bugger.
Wow, it's kind of hot in here.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you think of the version of the Joker in Origins?
I've been playing it for about 10 hours, according to the Steam clock. Mm. And first of all, that glitch I mentioned has been the only one I've encountered so far. Fingers crossed. I've had one main encounter with Mr. Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it still strikes me as someone doing an impression of him rather than being Mark Hamill's Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, you're passable, just like Batman himself with it being a different voice actor.
Yeah.
He's all right, but he's a bit like those, the fan vigilantes in the films. Where you just have people in very bad get-ups trying to take on these criminals and having to be rescued by real thing. He strikes me as a little bit like that. He's very angry. He's very angry. Just calm down. Stop being so nasty to Alfred.
That's
nice.
I know.
Nasty to Alfred.
That was one of the things I heard about the game, was just how unpleasant to Alfred he was. It was just like, I get that it's his early days, but was he really this disgusting towards his butler?
Originally? I can only think that the bat suit he hasn't got it padded on the inside, and it's got, lots of really sharp edges.
There's either that or he's been on the steroids.
Yeah, because he does
have a bad douche.
So I don't care, do that. Okay, fine. He's a Jesus.
What have you been playing?
You just wished you a happy Christmas, you wanker.
What have you been playing for?
I have been playing the remastered version of Final Fantasy X.
Is this on the PS3 or the Vita?
It's on the PS3. Okay. Although,
does it make any sense?
Sorry?
Does it make any sense? Because the Final Fantasy games, from my reckoning, I know kind of why I'm playing it, but
there is an internal logic to it that isn't always apparent because its story is kind of so dense. You don't kind of get told, oh, this is that, and this is that, and this is how this works. You kind of explore it along with the world.
At the same time, the story of 10 makes far more sense than the subsequent games, at least not the online ones, but the offline
ones. And I have to say, Final Fantasy X is almost like an indictment of religion.
There's quite a lot which is an indictment of religion.
Yeah, but I mean, Final Fantasy X especially, it hits quite close to home.
It's been so long since I've played it. I think one of the reasons I'd want to get the remake is we wouldn't be being screwed over a barrel by a terrible, shitty PAL conversion.
Mm. Yes, Absolutely, it does look really good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's got full high-definition graphics. In fact, I would say that's probably one of the best HD remakes or remasters that there is going out there.
Yeah.
Because like, it just looks so sharp, so crisp. And
you know what? It doesn't just look lovely, it sounds lovely.
Yeah, because it's got a rescored soundtrack.
So they've taken the original tracks and sort of done a bit more with it, and it's just, it's really good.
Mm. I mean, it does feel enhanced.
I've seen some of the trailers for it, and I was thinking I would actually be pretty tempted in that. It's a pity it's not cross-buy.
It's not cross-buy, but what you can do...
It's cross-play, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. So you can actually take a save file from the PS Vita version to the PS3 version, and vice versa.
Yeah, I
And I've got the feeling Final Fantasy X-2 is the same. I have the feeling. I haven't tried it out yet, though.
Yeah, but it's Final Fantasy X-2, and I played about a quarter of an hour of that, and it was an experience that I don't know what that
is. As somebody who's liked various bits of Magical Girl anime over the years, I kind of liked it.
Magical Girl anime.
Hmm.
Yeah, but just... then, it's like my missus likes Sailor Moon and you know things like that, and she was threatening me with violence unless I turned it off.
Yeah.
But I mean, some of the brilliant things about Final Fantasy X, because it's been so long since I've actually played it.
That's the advantage as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I've forgotten. It's not necessarily the story that I've forgotten. It's actually some of the systems that crop up that I've forgotten. And one of the best mini games like ever is Blitzball.
I'll take your word for that because it's a sporting thing. Automatic dislike because it's a sporting thing.
I know it's got a fair bit of strategy to it. So I mean, even though you're kind of controlling one person at a time, there is
there's team building and abilities
exactly.
and leveling up. Prizes.
I will just say here, you know, about the the PAL conversion. I was saying it was a terrible conversion. Yeah. I've said about PAL conversions before, the bad old days of us being screwed over. In this case, it had borders at the top and bottom of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So everything was squashed, it was in the wrong aspect all the way through, and they didn't correct any of the speed of the game or anything else there. So it was around about 20% slower.
Yeah, well, I mean...
So it was squashed 20% slower, and if you can imagine, one of the things that people say, "Oh, I wish all the animations and all and everything like that in a modern Final Fantasy game would take 1/5 longer to complete." That's one of the things people always ask for. No, it's not. So that's one of the things. That appeals. It's a fixed version. Mm. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't mind actually giving that a go.
I mean, I have to say, most of it runs actually pretty smoothly.
Mm.
In fact, very smoothly compared to the original. But there has been the odd occasion where it does jutter slightly.
Which is fair enough, because it's actually, what, 10 years old, that game, at least?
It's 12, because I got it for my 16th birthday.
Oh Jesus!
Cookie, what have you been playing?
Get older still now.
Cookie, what have you been playing?
I've gone back to Lego. I've gone to Lego Batman 2, which is actually quite good fun. I've been quite enjoying that, just rolling around and smashing things up and collecting all the Lego pieces.
It's
quite cool to see the.
In the case.
Well, it could have just been rolling around, smashing everything and collecting all the Lego pieces. It just in real life, generally.
Can I just say that? Lego games I've not really been a fan of, except Lego City Undercover. I did actually quite like it.
Now I think this one you can see sort of the change with all the voice actor and stuff in it as well. The first one, I think, they have the voice characters, the actual characters having voices, which really makes it come back to it, and it's got the open world and Gotham looks pretty cool all in Lego, and it's just stupid fun. I feel like a 5-year-old again.
What platform are you playing it on?
PS3. After I got my PS3 to work last week, I spent a couple of days cursing it because it went frigging work. But I've got it to work now, apart from The Last of Us. That doesn't work on my disk drive anymore. I won't be playing that. No. Which is a bit of a pain in the ass. I've also been playing Dark Souls 2.
Oh. Did you play much of the previous game?
No.
Okay.
No, and I have to say, it's very atmospheric. It's very dark. Fucking annoying, and it's very difficult, but it's quite good.
Mm. I have heard that it's both...
Very addictive.
Yeah, I've heard that both the Dark Souls are meant to be, like, really, really hardcore. It's like...
Mm. Oh, yeah, they are, definitely. I mean, I just ran through... I ran past the troll not knowing what to do. He killed me, and I unlocked my first trophy. Welcome to Dark Souls. And I was like, oh, okay. I think that's the first time I've ever got a trophy for dying, you buggers. And he didn't take, you know, it wasn't a case of like most games where you, oh, it's hitting me, run away. No, it just slapped me across the face and I was dead. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I would imagine that in real life, yeah, if there was a big troll in front of me, yeah, if he smacked me across the face, I'd probably die.
Yeah, yeah. That would probably happen.
And then there'll be a crack in there somewhere.
I'm just going to say here that, note this down. I agree with Mr. Blewett about the Lego games.
Pardon?
I'm speechless.
What? I agree with Mr. Blewett about the Lego games. None of them have really clicked for me. I haven't.
You
played
do know it's not
Lego City.
You do know it's not April Fool's Day till tomorrow.
I know. I'm
this
not
is going out on April Fool's Day, so
yes, it
that's
is.
Apt. But yeah, I've tried liking the Lego games, but they just don't quite work for me. I'm not entirely sure why. It's just I knock about in them a little bit, and I've tried playing them, you know, co-op, and it's just I don't know why I'm playing this, and I just stop. So I've tried several times with Star Wars and Indiana Jones. I mean, I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan, so I've not bothered with those.
See, I really like the Harry Potter ones because I've read the books and watched the film so much. Mm. So,
yeah,
more so than obviously like Star Wars or even the Batman films. So, you know, yeah.
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 But They've managed to really make good franchise out of it, to be fair, haven't they? The Lego games.
Well, they seem to have. They've got a fan base.
Mm. Definitely.
I tried downloading the demo of, you know, the Lego Movie game, which kind of blows my mind as a cross, you know, cross media thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's, you know, the film exists because of the game, so there's a game of the film which wouldn't exist for the games in the first place.
Do you know what? That's number 5 in last week's sales chart. The
Lego Movie Game.
Lego Movie Game.
Mm. I mean, I've seen trailers and such on it. Yeah, I like what they were doing with the film, but yeah, the game is just, oh, it's this again. Couldn't be bothered finishing the demo. That's a good sign. It's not for me. But I would like to try Lego City Undercover at some point.
That is, I actually quite got on with that because it's actually an original story, and B, because you do actually get to chase down people, so it does have like a slightly open world element to it.
The reason I really liked it was due to all of its own intertextuality.
Yeah.
Silence.
They're saying that Lego Batman 2 is quite the open world, and you get to chase down people.
I would hope so, what with being crime fighters. You know, benign.
And you get to drive the Batmobile and the Robin's helicopter. Didn't realise he had a helicopter, but he's got one. I was flying under that the other night. That was cool. And the Batwing as well.
That kind of reminds me, you know, playing Arkham Origins, it's yet more of an education for me because I don't really know that much about, you know, Batman lore past about 1980.
Hmm.
So all these characters, it's like, nope, don't know you. Nope. Nope. Who the hell are you?
Oh, did you hear Scarecrow has been confirmed as the main villain from Arkham Knight?
Yes.
Yeah, I did hear that, so it was
And
which is going to be cool.
Meanwhile, the dude in the armour, I'm like, I think if they try to say it's a new bad guy, I think it's Hush underneath that. Just because of the fact that you had that, he'd be the most logical choice after what happened in C.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think it's probably the Joker again, because that seems to be what to do with
him. No, it's Clayface as the Joker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spoilers for City.
Yeah. Does anyone want to know what I've been playing?
It's like spoiler edition.
Yeah, what you've been playing.
I went back into Skyrim.
Did you find a wood chipper?
I did find a woodcutter's axe, and I did chop some wood.
Chop, 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 chop.
But there was no form of automation for me at the time, so it was all by hand. I am actually doing something new in the game, because I've never played the story DLC. So I've actually started Dawnguard. This was partly in response to the fact that it's on my PC, and I didn't want to have to go through the hassle of turning off the DLC installs. But because I hadn't started Dawnguard and started dealing with the vampire problem that begins to plague Skyrim, I kind of fast-travelled to the stables outside Whiterun, which is obviously one of the main starting towns.
Mm.
And, oh, what's that? A bunch of vampires and was it death hounds or something just killing the stable owner, the stable hand, and the horse that was for sale. And I was just kind of like, they're going to stay dead, and I'm not going to be able to buy horses from here. I can't let this happen. So I had to reload, not fast travel to the stables, and instead start making my way towards the fort that kind of kicks off Dawnguard. And I've started playing it, and I am finding it interesting. But I decided to go back on a decision I made last night whilst playing it. I had decided to side with the vampires. And I tried the Vampire Lord power and everything. And it was too overpowered. You know, like it just one hit, two hit kills. And I was just like, this isn't very challenging. And I know I'm playing it on a reasonable, I think I've got it on like apprentice difficulty, mostly because I hate dealing with dragons.
Yeah.
And it's just to make sure the dragon spawns remain sensible. But, I was just kind of like, this is just too easy, just killing things. Even though, like, there's a whole secret society thing that's got going on is quite cool. But, yeah, and I was like, oh, but it would be kind of good for, like, if I decide to go and do the Dark Brotherhood missions again. And
did you just realise how serial killer you came off then when you said, you know, it's just so easy?
It's too easy. There's no challenge. So I've decided to side back with the living. I went back to a previous save, like, because I had had the sense, because I had a feeling this kind of choice was going to come up, and I had had the sense to kind of make a save just before the choice. And so
it's a bit of a Skyrim and Elder Scrolls game thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just always make sure that you've got several saves going back a few hours.
Yeah.
That is kind of part of the reason why I mean I've said it numerous times now that I'm not a big fan of stuff like Skyrim, and I think I've actually whittled it down to the concept of choice, where, you know, you can basically play the game all the way through, but you're kind of missing out on a whole load of, you know, kind of different options and whatnot. And I prefer a far more guided thing where, you know, this is what's going to happen during the story, bam.
I can kind of see where that comes from. I mean, that was always my original bone of contention with Elite, the original one, way back. With it was just, you know, right, you're in the game world, do whatever. And I just wanted more of a main quest, a main point, rather than just, you know, going up in rank. And that's why I like stuff like Elder Scrolls and, you know, the Skyrims and Oblivions and Morrowinds, where you can do the main quest, and then at any point you can just get distracted by a monument up in the distance and then just go have a look at that. And then you discover a whole mission that you weren't going to touch it in the first place.
and you know that's why they they work for me. I've not actually done any of the DLC on Skyrim because I played it through on 360, and that I got that on launch, and I then got the Legendary Edition on Steam. So I've got the PC version, but I haven't got very far in it in comparison. So you know, obviously, it would probably be a bad idea for me to go do the DLC without
I would say you probably want to be like around level 10 just so that you get some decent stuff out of a quest. But I found that in this playthrough, I've been making stuff for my character even more than I've previously done. I've kind of gone into a whole kind of armor enchanting mode. Like I'm making my own armor and jewelry sometimes, and then I'm enchanting it myself. So I'm kind of like I'm a sort of a bit of a sort of warrior mage thing kind of going on. I've got swords, I've got spells, and I know how to use them kind of deal. So that's been kind of interesting. And I haven't gone near the hearthfire build my own house, which was what happened during my previous playthroughs, like last year. I decided no, I was going to, because I wanted to know whether or not you could adopt a kid and have them live in one of the set houses that you can buy in the towns. Because building a house, it's like it's kind of cool, but it takes forever. So I was like, okay, can I have a kid, adopt kids, and have them in one of the set houses? And you can do it for the one in Whiterun for definite, and definitely the one in Solitude. That's because it's so huge. What was annoying is that my my wife, and I'm playing a female character.
Complained. That's why it's raining.
Complained about the size of the house.
To be fair, you got married yesterday as well, didn't you?
No, it wasn't yesterday. It was Saturday.
Saturday, yeah, when the law was actually passed in the UK.
When I had a lesbian wedding in.
It was just a coincidence, wasn't it?
Really? It was just kind of like, so I was like, oh, I've never managed to marry a female character in game before. Let's see if it's actually because it was hit and miss as to whether or not you could do it in depending on how patched the game was. So you can. It's a simple answer. And yes.
And you adopted some kids?
Adopted some kids. Adopted two orphans. Two ragamuffins.
What I wanted to know with, seeing, because I didn't do the DLC. So, the child adopting thing.
Mm.
You know, if you adopt children, can you build a mine so you could send them down it?
No. However, they will occasionally find cool things for you. You're asked to adopt animals as pets. And
it's kind of a network of adoption.
And
it's like, sure, I'll take your orphans.
There is a nastily run orphanage in the game, which does crop up in the Dark Brotherhood quest line. But you don't necessarily have to adopt kids from the orphanage because there are a couple of kids just living out and about on the streets in some of the towns.
I mean, yeah, to give you an idea of how I played it, I was pissed off that I couldn't fuss road our children over the city walls.
Oh, dear.
I tried.
Oh,
I could do it with the guards and got in trouble. But not the, I'm not scared of you. Fuss road our!
I'm going to move this on to a feature
now. Can I just say...
Oh, God.
If you ever decide to basically record your play sessions of Skyrim, I would probably watch them on YouTube because they actually would be probably hilarious.
Only if Retro's providing a running commentary of.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Otherwise, it'll be boring.
Yeah, running commentary of all the evil things that you're kind of up to because you're fed up with the kids.
Bloody running around! Here I am dragging all this ore and dragon bones back to my house, and you're just.
Okay, so feature this week, we were going to discuss Facebook's purchase of Oculus VR, aka the people that make Oculus Rift, which was originally funded through a Kickstarter campaign, and over the course of the past year has picked up a big pile of venture capitalist funding. And Facebook went and last week bought it for $2
billion. $2 billion. And you know what Oculus Rift's big problem was there?
Go on.
They should have had a stupid bullshit social network thing that people could have dropped like a stone at any moment and Facebook would have paid five times the price.
and had a stupid, crappy app that plugged into that stupid, pointless, shitty social network thing that people could drop like a stone at any moment. And yeah.
Yeah.
Probably up to 25 billion of the monopoly money that people somehow think Facebook is worth.
Just in case you're listening to Nerds Assemble, you know, from the link from Facebook. Yay!
Yeah, Facebook.
I think the geek community's response to this purchase has been quite colourful. I think it's one word I might use.
There was quite a lot of do not want and rage and anger.
Yeah.
There was lots of dark side. Lots of going towards the dark side.
I think if Mark Zuckerberg actually turned around and met some of them, he would have probably not been released back into captivity.
Well, I mean,
released into the worlds of the world.
It's unlikely that Facebook are going to use this opportunity to directly produce hardware, you know, the Oculus Rift themselves, if they don't do something else with the company. Because they've got a bad, other than making sure they've got their own servers, because they do their own sort of custom build servers, the only hardware that they've ever really promised was like some form of like Facebook mobile phone or whatever. And I think they might have Facebook released the, did they get as far as releasing the operating system?
HTC.
Yeah, and then the,
they
and,
did Facebook Home. Which...
Yeah, but nobody's heard about it ever since. And then since. They did.
There was the HTC handset, wasn't it?
Something like that.
Was there?
There was.
Yeah. It was all Facebook preloaded and with the home launcher. But that, I think it got released in the States, but I don't think it actually got released over it.
They've got a bad track record for externalising hardware.
Yeah. I just could not understand the whole thing with a Facebook phone. Because it's a phone that does Facebook. It's a bit like a phone that's got the Facebook app on it. Staggering.
Yeah. Can I just say that I'm actually really disappointed because the amount of projects that I've seen, you know, that are on, you know, the Oculus Rift, and it's the Oculus Rift, it hasn't actually been kind of commercially launched, has it?
No, it's just been developer kits so far.
Yeah, which a lot of people were complaining with the what about the Kickstarter backers? Yeah, they got their dev kits. That's what the Kickstarter was for.
Fair enough. But, you know, I was kind of looking forward to being able to purchase one and, you know, just like bring it home type thing. But...
Which it does, unless Facebook allows Oculus VR to do their own thing, doesn't feel like it will happen now. They haven't said outright, oh, it's not going to happen.
Well, I think they've said that, you know, they own it, but
they're gonna
they'll let it operate on its own.
Mm.
Yeah.
But
it kind of felt a bit like when Sony bought. OnLive.
No, they bought Gaikai.
Yeah. You know, for kind of streaming and whatnot. And at first, we were like, "Hey, what are they going to do with that?" And then it's like, "Ah, okay." But this seems even more bizarre.
Yeah,
it's because they want to be in your room. They're going to give you a virtual reality type of Facebook. You're going to be sat there playing a game, and you're going to have a bloody. You'll look to the left and there'll be a little Farmville thing. Your mum has sent you an invite. I'm
it
like,
just
fuck off.
Feels...
Go, hey.
It'd be like that old Twilight Zone with it, you know, send down to the farm, except you actually send down to the farm.
It just feels like they just did the purchase just to get hold of patents. That's the cynical part of me. It's just like, well, let's get it for patents, let's get it for a bit of the tech or whatever, and we can do whatever with it. Like, the way sort of Google picked up Motorola, though they're selling that all off now, except for some of the patents. And,
Google were fairly upfront, weren't they, that when they bought Motorola, it was because they wanted the patents.
Yeah.
Which is, the American patent system is mad.
Yeah.
But it just feels a bit like that. And while, like, Yahoo haven't fudged up Tumblr yet, thankfully.
Yeah. Have they actually done much with Tumblr?
Not really, which
that's
is probably
how they manage not to.
Yeah, it's, they've kind of... Because obviously there's still the porn on there, so they really can't get that close to it. It's kind of dangerous for them too. So...
Yeah, what, they just don't want to whack it off.
Which is a point, the podcast is on Tumblr, so if you want to follow it, you can.
We're just everywhere.
Yeah, we're just everywhere.
Invading your tubes.
That just sounds so wrong.
Tubes is in, like, internet tubes. No?
No, just stop.
The tubes?
I think one of the things, because with Facebook, one of its main models for making money is advertising. So even if they did end up producing or allowing Oculus to produce some kind of proper sort of commercially available VR headset, I do worry about how they would implement ads on it, if at all, because just prior to this sale, I'd seen two articles by advertisers moaning and or kind of speculating on having advertising in products that I wouldn't want advertising on. One was some sort of going, oh, just look forward to the day when we can have ads on smartwatches. I'm like,
dying of fire.
Yeah, it's like, what? So somebody wants to look at the freaking wrist for like the time, or to check whether or not they got a text message or a tweet or something. And, oh, look, there's an ad. I'm going to feel it. No, they're not going to feel really happy. They're going to make you die of fire, so considering also that they probably paid a lot of money for that smartwatch to go with their expensive phone. Just like, no, don't put advertising on something like that. And then to make matters worse, some other advertiser or marketer was suggesting that, oh, there could be ads and ebooks in the future.
No.
Die. No.
Yeah, exactly. No. I'm just like,
Just say, everyone should go onto YouTube and put Bill Hicks advertising.
Yeah.
That's a nice summary of my attitude. If you work in advertising, you're scum of the earth, you don't do any good for anyone, kill yourself. Sorry to any advertiser people. I mean, I posted that on Eurogamer, and there were a few people who were saying, yeah, I work in advertising.
Uh-oh. That's accurate. They'd
put anthrax and baby food if they thought I was going to...
I think it's the difference between, because of where I work, it's kind of like the differentiation between like advertising and marketing, and we're very much in marketing. Like, we don't produce content that traditionally ends up in what you would perceive as advertising, because advertising is a very
scattershot.
It's a broadcast form of marketing, so you're shouting at people. And that's not really the kind of stuff that we produce.
Buy this wood chipper!
Yeah. That's pretty much what advertising is. Whereas we'd be like...
It will cut through anything.
Whereas we'd be like, oh, well, you know, like, home forestry is an issue, blah, 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 and wood chippers could help, blah, 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 and here's some other methods that could help, blah, 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 which is pretty much content marketing.
It's kind of trying to be helpful.
Yeah, but also at the same time, you don't completely disclose the fact that it is marketing.
Yeah.
So... You know, it's truthful as well and sincere.
And presumably targeted.
And targeted.
You know, say, for example, very gamers. You know, they're a group of people that like to play video games. So if you add kind of market towards them, then, you know, they will probably buy your products. On the other hand, wood chippers, not so, you know.
Unless, of course, you're somebody who's got like a lot of Christmas trees at the end of each Christmas and you've got to get rid of them.
Or lots of bad, bad games.
Do you like a wood chipper for Christmas?
I was going to say, maybe
that's what you're trying to hint at.
No.
Square Enix and Capcom, you know, could probably do with a wood chipper.
but going back to being
optimistic about this whole
Oculus,
I'm quite glad for Oculus in a way, because at least
someone has to.
Because they've got big money behind them now. To be fair, even though it's sort of fake voodoo money, but. One of the things that crossed my mind was this: Mark Zuckerberg seems to be adamant on concentrating on messaging at the moment with the buying of WhatsApp and stuff.
Mm.
So I'm just wondering if this is going to be a way of creating a virtual messaging system or something. That would be pretty cool. Next year we could be doing the Nerds podcast by virtual simulation.
Hey, wouldn't it be great when PlayStation Home's out of beta?
Is it not out of beta yet?
I think it was out of beta a few years ago, and no one uses it.
No, I don't.
I really liked the idea, and it was just, oh, when it actually arrived and everything was monetized.
Yeah.
And there were real queues for, you know, virtual games.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. If you wanted to play one of the mini games in the arcade and such, or, you know, like bowling or whatever, you had to stand in line with your avatar and wait your turn.
Wow.
I think they fixed that, but it was just... Seriously, who the hell thought this was a good idea?
I'm gonna take this back towards Oculus again now. That the Kickstarter backers, who have a lot of whom, or at least a vocal minority, certainly seem to have been quite pissed off at the buyout, has raised obviously a whole load of questions about, well, what should Kickstarter be used for, and the fact that obviously, like, people not. Acknowledge the fact when the terms weren't you've bought equity in this company, you've just bought whatever the perk was.
Yeah.
What happens after that is, you know, once you've had your perk delivered to you, that's if it even was a tangible thing or an intangible but digital content-y thing in the first place. Like, do you actually really have any say over what happens with the final product?
I think to a certain extent you should, because, I mean, say, for example, if I were to fund something on Kickstarter, and then that basically they decided to basically take that product and, I don't know, sell it to a company that I really, really hated.
Like Facebook.
Yeah, but I suspect in the TNCs there's probably a thing that says that you waive all moral rights anyway by actually supporting something.
I mean, most companies, most startups, you know, this is what the aim of them, isn't it? It's to start up, get a funding, create a, you know, a product, and then get bought by someone.
Mm.
So far as I could tell, that was the whole point of Gaikai. He, you know, set it up, you know, shiny, you know, or, you know, ex-boss of shiny, you know, set it all up. And on live, they did it so they could, you know, create a business and then be bought up by someone.
Yeah.
And it's, well, that's fair enough. So far as I could tell, because I was never that, you know, I've never been that interested in the Oculus Rift, as in, you know, it's a nice gadget and it would be fantastic for some specific things, but I don't think it's what we'll all be playing games on in 10 years' time.
Mind you, I like the idea of imagining Skyrim, Oculus Rift.
Skyrim and stuff like it is just about, you know, what those are the things that would work quite well.
I'd like Team Fortress 2. Oculus Rift, that'd be brilliant.
But, yeah, it you know, so all that... It got, you know, the product got made, the development kit got made, and you could argue that a lot of the things that they fixed with the Oculus Rift, like, you know, the lag and the, you know, the head tracking, get rid of some of the motion sickness, and the, you know, the software solutions for some of the optical distortions that, you know, these headsets have, you know, had for years. You know, all that's great, and, you know, and all of that. And... I mean, there's the Sony Morpheus headset, and there's another one being announced in the last week. It's probably Vaporware at the moment, but they're saying, you know, they're bringing it to next-gen consoles and PC.
Mm.
So
we're not going to be without VR.
Yeah,
just VR without Oculus.
But then everyone got on board with 3D, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Look how well that went.
And don't forget, we've got 4K on the horizon.
Yeah, so, gee.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's all of that. And, you know, the fact that it was Facebook, to me, it only really makes sense with, well, hands up here, verbal hands up, obviously. If you think, you know, the valuation of Facebook and a lot of these digital companies is massively over what they actually should be for what they produce, they can actually do.
I would say it is overrated.
Now,
I mean, considering the amount of dangers to that, because obviously their money's in data, and so if a person decides to fully delete their account from the service, then they're not technically meant to hold on to the data and stuff, you know, under various laws anyway. So if they don't comply, that's a risk to them. The data is a risk to them if somebody leaks it without permission. The data is a risk to them if they find they're not complying with data protection laws. It's a risky thing, and they're not necessarily always going to have it. And they're trying to, and now they're all trying to make money from advertising.
It's only worth as much as it is because people think it's worth that much, for one reason or another. I mean, how much did they pay for? Was it WhatsApp? Was it something like 20 billion? Or was it Instagram?
Something
like
that. Really.
Both got bought for stupid money.
It's obscene amounts of money that they are in no way worth.
But the thing is that it's like the deal isn't always complete. Normally, it isn't always completely, you know, actual cash. It's part cash and then stocks.
This Oculus purchase was something like, I think it was $400 million in cash, and the rest of it was in Facebook stock. It was something like that, where it was, you know, like 3/4 stock. And I can't help but think that, you know, Facebook have thought, well, the market says we're worth this much, and therefore, you know, and therefore we have this much money at our disposal. So why not actually get some things like Oculus in while we can, while we've got this, you know, fake money, while we've got, you know, some old suits who are weirdly convinced that Facebook is worth tens of billions of dollars. So let's spend it on getting these actual products, and then, you know, if the prices collapse on the stock, and it's happened before, there's been a tech bubble before, so I'm just waiting for it to happen again, because these prices are ludicrous. So if that collapses, they've still got Oculus Rift. They own it.
Yeah. I just want to just go back to the backers a minute, and the whole, well, a lot of them have been complaining about, obviously, the fact that they're not going to see any of this 2 billion ballpark figure.
Hmm.
And that's the fact that, dear Kickstarter backers, you participated in one type of crowdfunding. If you wish to have what is known as equity returned to you for your investments, then you should invest in equity crowdfunding platforms, which there are several around, in some in the UK and some in the US. So if you want to do that kind of thing, they are around. It's just obviously they're not as well popularized as Kickstarter.
Yeah, you're not losing out because, you know, you kind of got what you were meant to.
You can't complain because they were buying the company. It's like, so far as I know, no, you were buying headset.
I mean, you can't complain because, you know, in the end, you know, you put a stake in something and the person at the other end got a larger sum than you did.
I mean, personally, if I was going to complain about stuff about what people get up to in Kickstarter, I do get a bit, concerned about how Image Comics have been using Kickstarter to create their own stuff out, basically using Kickstarter to bankroll printing of, you know, creator owned comics, basically.
Personally, I don't like the idea of Kickstarter being used as a platform for already established kind of companies, and, you know,
well, certainly companies beyond a certain size.
Because what you're basically doing then is the bigger guys are going into the pool of the little guys and saying, oh, we can make money out of that, or we don't have to put in as much risk or whatnot. And basically the pool gets full with, you know, people that are already established.
It's we could do it the normal way, but we'll just do it this way because we can.
Which kind of makes me think that perhaps Kickstarter should have like a tier system.
Yeah.
In of itself, so, you know, kind of already established stuff goes in one kind of Kickstarter, and, you know, the indie, you know, like a small group that doesn't actually have anything at the moment but is, you know, trying to get stuff done in another. That'd so that people sense. Can kind of differentiate between them.
Or, you know, banks should be more willing to lend to established entertainment media.
Yeah, but that involves actually telling the banks what to do.
I know they're not very good at listening to what people suggest they should be doing. But I do, unfortunately, I do believe that is all we've got time for this week. So it is goodbye from...
It's goodnight from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's goodnight from me, Paul, a.k.a. one_cookie. And you can find me lurking around the gamejar.com.
And it's goodnight from me, Paul Blewett, and I'm on Twitter as Paul Blewett.
And it's goodnight from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter as EK6891. You can find Nerdassemble over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. The podcast is available on iTunes. You can tweet us at Nerds Podcast, plus you can visit us on Facebook and Google Plus via Nerdassemble Podcast. And don't forget to check out hexdimension.com. Yesterday, if you listen to this now, you know, on Tuesday or whatever, we had a lovely poster with recommendations for your bookshelf for April. So it's a good read. But good night.
Night.
Good night.
Beastplosion!